Let's review some core concepts, and then we'll be ready to dive into the dairy equipment sugya, not by not, on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis Maseches Chulin. So, just to lay the groundwork. Number one, the Torah tells us three times, twice in Chumash Shemos and once in Chumash Devarim, the same five words, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, which, and that's the source for the Din of Basa B'Chalev. The Din of Basa B'Chalev is headquartered primarily in the eighth parak of Maseches Chulin, parak Kala Basar. Maseches Chulin is often thought of as being about kashrus. It may be more correct to say Maseches Chulin is the halachas of animals. Many of the halachas are animals which are not karbanos, chulin, non-kashrus. Most of, so some of those are not kashrus related, like Shiluach HaKein and Rishus HaGeis. Most of them are kashrus related. The eighth parak, parak Kala Basar, is you have a little bit of hilchas and tilas hadayim, but predominantly it's the sugyas of basar b'chalav. Towards the end of the parak, as is so often the case in Shas, towards the end is where the Gemara darshens all the core concepts, and particularly the isar daraisa of basar b'chalav. The Gemara derives its three different activities are prohibited. That's why the Torah repeats Los Fashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo three times. It sounds like it just needs to cook it. But the Tanam Darshan, the fact that it's said three times, Shalom Aleichem, the fact that it's said three times, so you're not allowed to eat Basar B'Chalev, you're not allowed to have any other Hanaf in Basar B'Chalev, and you're not allowed to cook Basar B'Chalev. And the Tanam go on to explain that even the Isser of eating or of having other Hana is min ha-Torah only if they have been cooked. If bas b'chalav daraiso, as the Rav put in Shurim, basar b'chalav is when it's cooked together. Midrabanan, you can't even eat basar v'chalav with a vav. Meat and milk, side by side, or even one after the other, that's it is a drabanan. But the cheftz, bas b'chalav min ha-Torah, is when they're actually cooked together. In other words, so to recap that from a different perspective, the issur of cooking basar b'chalav is really the issur of creating basar b'chalav. When I cook, the chalav is mutter and the basar is mutter. When I cook them together, basar b'chalav shenis bashul zeh b'zeh, that becomes has a new status. That's basar b'chalav. So to create basar b'chalav is an issur. That's the issur of bishul. And then once it's been created, asur to eat and asur to have any other hana. So that's the thumbnail portrait of the concept of basar b'chalav, the three surim, and the appreciation of what the cheftza of basar b'chalav min ha-Torah is, basar and chalav shenis bashlu yachad. A concept that's not unique to basar b'chalav, but obviously has a play in many areas of halav, many areas of kashrus, but particularly in basar b'chalav, and basar b'chalav is also the context in which Shulchan Aruch has a lot of the practical discussion of this, is the concept of Tam Ke Iker. A concept we're all familiar with, but just to sort of review and define. So the Torah has a list of the course of Chumash of 20, 30 different machalos asuras. You can't eat non-kosher, the meat of a non-kosher species, and you can't eat non-kosher fish, you cannot eat orla, and you can't, if you have a kosher species but didn't have a shechita, it's nevela, you can't eat that, and so on and so forth, a whole long list of machalos asuras. But if I throw a piece of bacon into the challenge, so the bacon is asur to eat because that's besar behemoth tamei. But the potatoes and the beans, they're not besar behemoth tamei. They're not bacon. So what's wrong with that? So the Torah is mechadish. The Gemara works hard to figure what the pasuk is, but it most likely is a din daraisa based on some pasuk or another. The ta'am ke ikar, that the flavor is equivalent to the ikar, to the thing itself. Just like if you can't eat a piece of bacon, you also can't eat a potato that's flavored with bacon. It's infused with the flavor of bacon. And there are a couple of different ways in which flavor can be transferred. And that's one of the major issues in Ochas Bas B'chalav. That has to be some force that's driving the flavor. And the most common force is heat. Things are heated together, so there's a mixing of flavors. There are other methods of tam transfer as well. Another one that could be coming up later on in the next Simon Sarivav is one of the forms of Beliya Bitsonin of an absorption of flavor without an infusion of flavor without heat is when you have the combination of sharp foods and the pressure of a knife. We'll get that to the sugya of Darachar, chopping onions. We'll get to that, Rich, down the road. But when you think about the world of tam kik or flavor transfers, there are a couple of different dimensions. So one dimension is the question of again, what force is driving the flavor in. Is it heat? Is it a sharp food? Is it soaking liquid extensively? Is it that's pickling or salting? That's one question. But a different question, let's stick with heat for now, it's the most common scenario, is how many steps removed? How many steps are you from the source to the target? And let's talk about that specifically in the context of Basa B'chal. Again, as we said before, Basa B'chal of Daraisa is only when they're nisbashlu yachad, when they're blended, when there's a blending of flavor and specifically via bishul. So the classic scenario is you have meat and milk, you cook them together. So that's absolutely Basa B'chal. The meat's giving flavor to the milk, milk's giving flavor to the meat. So that's Basa B'chal of Daraisa. Another question, and then the Gemara says, if you have a Gemara in front of you, or if you have the packet of Maram Kavos in front of you, can come take a look at the Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. This is actually the previous parak in Parak Gid Anasha. Also a very, very central address for the world of Tam Kaker. There's one in the middle of a sugya, and jump into one line. And Sayyidina Amin, obviously at the start, the Sanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, for now we'll see it out of context. Kederish Abishal Babasar Loi Vashal Bachalav. The Imbishal Penosin Tam. I have a pot, a fleshic pot, a flat pot in which I cook meat, so I cannot cook milk in that pot. And if you did, Penosin Tam. If you did, not an Asul Chatchila, but potentially is even going to make the milk treif the Diavet if there's enough meat, if it's a small enough amount of milk. It's actually going to pick up flavor, the meat flavor. There'll be a tastable meat flavor, and it's not so diluted that you can't taste it. So then this taka is going to be usher. So that's already one step removed. Now you don't have, it's one degree of separation. You don't have the basar and the chalav touching each other, being heated at the same time. It's a two-step process. First, last night I used this frying pan to make chopped meat. And then the next morning, I use that frying pan to make eggs and cheese. So at night, the tam basar went into the pan. In the morning, the tam basar went from the pan into the eggs and cheese. That too, the Braisa says, is asr, and is asr even begin. Not just asr to do it, that will create a chepz of bas b'chal.
That's daraisa also.
That is presumably daraisa, yeah. That's presumably daraisa. So now the Gemara wants to know, the Arsagin here, Simon Sadiyeh, Kufiral from Abiz, is how about if you add a third step? Itra, at the two dots at the very beginning of the wide lines. That's an interesting shot. The Shaka Vitari itself was fascinating. We'll see some of the Shaka Vitari, then we have to begin to think. There's a long tosis that gets to thinking about how to unpack this lahalach. So let's get started with the Sigur. And we will get started with the sugya tonight, and we will continue next week. We're ready to begin to see some of the halacha ma'aseh tonight. Itma, dag b'sha'alu b'ka'ara. I have fish that alu b'ka'ara, that came up in a plate. What on earth does that mean? So Rashi says, Rashi's approach to this gemara is a dag b'sha'alu b'ka'ara min hatzli. I took them off. I was frying the fish. I took them off the grill, kishahi roschen. I lift them off the grill, and the sun on l'so hakara. Dag m'sha'olu b'kara. I took them off the grill and bring them up in the plate. What type of plate? A ka'ar sh'achu b'basar. This is a fleshik plate. I take the fish off the grill and I slap them onto a fleshik plate. So what's the status of the fish? They're kosher, but the question is, are they par? So the Gemara presents the machlokas amaram. Rav amar asal achim akutuch. Rav says, I can no longer eat them with kutach. Those who are learning Daf Yomi may still remember from Masaf in the third pack of Psach, kutach habavli is a type of dairy sauce. So Rav says, the fish are fleshic. So you can't put any dairy sauce on it. Shmuel says, no, mutar lachem b'kutach. They're still par, but you're allowed to put the kutach onto the fish. What's the issue? So Rav Amar no sin tamu. What do you mean? It has the flavor of fleshiks. We believe in tam kicker. It's the same as the tzadi zayin. And Shmuel says, nah, it's mutter. Why? No sin time, bar no sin time. Well, this is two steps removed. To say that I have a fleshik pan and that's in direct contact with the milk, that's a problem. But here, what's in direct contact with the milk? The fish, which chavgadi, which the fish is two steps removed from the flesh. The flavor went from the meat into the pan, and then from the pan not into milk, from the pan into something parve, like fish or like vegetables. So I have parve of fish that I made that had in a fleshik plate. Rav Shmuel says that's already two steps removed. That does not become flesh. And then the Gemara goes on to tell a story that Hadar Rav, the fact that Rav holds that the not bar not, no sin tam bar no sin tam, the power of a food that was made in, not dairy equipment in this case, flesh equipment, but it's all the same, it's all symmetrical, dairy equipment. Rav holds that the dairy equipment food is taka milchik. It was originally based on an implication of a story. What was it? Ma'isa Rav Yekleveirushin Barchia Bar Bray. Rav spent some time in his grandson's home. Rav had a son Chia Barav. This was Chia Barav's son Rav Shimi. So Chosh Beinav. So he had some sort of eye pain. So they made him some sort of concoction. Obviously Shaifa Bitzav. They made him some sort of a bitter concoction. On a plate, on a bowl, and on a tza'a. And Basar Hachi Ramuli Bishula Begava. Later on, they cleaned out the plate, and then they gave him soup, or they gave him some sort of food on the same plate. Ta'im lay time with the shaifa, and he tasted a little bit of the concoction. Well, yeah. So, Amar, you have time with Kuli Hai. Wow. It's no Saint Tom to that extent. Rob was very impressed. Halachic man, sort of reminiscent of the famous scene in the Rob's Halachic Man. He says, Halachic man is hiking and he comes across a stream. He doesn't just see a stream; he sees a din mayan. So Rob said, "Ooh, the scene is Tom." So why was that so significant? So that sounds like the Gemara says. Oh, that sounded like. He was saying that the not bar not has the same status. You see that there isn't a sinas tam. You see that even so many steps removed, it's still giving flavor. So the Gemara says velohi. By the way, Ramban points out this doesn't seem as many steps removed. This is just this is from the.
It's like the fish.
Right, it's like the fish. It's not like the milk. So that did lead. Ron points that did lead some Rishonim to totally reimagine what Dagim Shalav Bakara means. That's not accepted. We do assume that Dagim Shalav Bakara is the way we presented it. I have part of food made in a fleshik pot, and then a fleshik plate, and then can I mix it with milchiks or not? So the Ramban and his Talmidim quote Ramban's. Ramban in the Chiddush Ramban, and the Ritva quotes Ramban, and the Ron quotes Ramban. So Ramban says it must be that the concoction itself only had a tiny drop of the bitter ingredient. So that was sort of the equivalent. It was already once an additional step removed.
Why is this not the same? The concoction put it into the plate initially, and then it came out of the plate and so the first thing you put on the plate.
And then the Ron says, no, you don't have to make so many cheshbonos. The Ron says, you don't have to, Ron says, it just means, Rav was impressed. Yad time of Kuli Hai, it's so strong. So Ron says the whole notion of not bar not is that every step removed, it gets decreased to the point after a few steps, it's gone. But if two steps later it's still so strong, so then it doesn't seem like there's any drop off, so then the whole theory of not bar not falls apart. That's what Ron says. So Rav was remarking that it seemed as though there's no loss from step to step. And the Gemara says it's not really a raya. Velohi, shiny house of nafish merara tvei. That was a particularly bitter concoction. So that's a general principle in the world of Tom Kaker, is when you have the rules, let's say, of bitzel b'shishim apply when you're dealing with typical food ingredients. But let's say if you have a milsa davidla time, if you have a spice or a flavor extract, so you don't say, let's say you had a trefa vanilla extract. One can imagine such a thing. A trefa spice. So the spice is always about the bushisha. Who puts in you're severely over spicing if your spice is not batel l'shishim. But the Gemara says,
real bakers.
Yes. Yes, that would be an example. So the Gemara says, no, but you have if you have an item which is a flavor agent, so then of course it's much more powerful, so then the standards of bitl are going to be different. So that's the Gemara is making a similar point over here. Here it's not a question of the ratio, here it's a question of the number of steps removed, but a similar concept. That was an unusually pungent flavor. And we're going to see, by the way, we're going to see that that's going to be true for Dover. Many Rishonim will say that idea is formalized, that although Shmuel says an opera, not as mutter, but not if you're dealing with a Dover Harf. And so the classic example of Dover Harf, which we're circling around for now, and you're chopping onions, if you're fleshik knife, you chop the onions with a fleshik knife. So we treat those onions as fleshik, even though that's mamish an opera. I use the knife with the tom went from the basar to the knife, then from the knife to the onion. So can I mix that with milchiks or not? She says, no. Why? Well, so we have to see how it's paskin, but we do seem to accept at least in principle that not for not is parv, and yet by the onions we consider it fleishik. Why? Because davar harif. When you're dealing with sharper flavors, so then the kula of naparnat goes out the window. That's exactly what emerges from this story. It's going to come from the Gemara later as well, but this story is already putting that forward. So the Gemara says that Tosis points out, Rav did say it. The Gemara said before it's machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Then the Gemara said, well, it comes from the story. And the Gemara said, the story's not a good raya. So Tosis says, in Dir Masel Velo, Mikan Ein Lahochiach. It's true that Rav said it. Some thought that story implied, the story doesn't really imply, but Rav did say it. And the Gemara goes on to tell a story about...
Doesn't the Gemara in the continuation make it sound like Rav never said it? When he comes... the next story where Rav says, says explicitly, I never said this, no?
No. So let's see the next one. Let's see the next one. Rabbi Lazar Avakam Kamei Demar Shmuel. It's Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, who were contemporaries. They were the two major first generation Amoraim in Bavel. Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan were all Talmidim and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. They were the first generation Amoraim. Rabbi Yochanan was a little bit younger than Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan stays in Eretz Yisrael. He becomes together with his Talmud, Chaver, and brother-in-law, Reish Lakish. They become the major figures of the first generation Amram and Eretz Yisrael. And Rav and Shmuel go off on Shlichut after they get, Rav gets Smicha, Shmuel never gets Smicha, but they were learning for many years in Yerushalayim Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, and then they go off on Shlichut to establish yeshivas in Bavel. So this was the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and Rav and Shmuel had a number of shared Talmidim. Second generation Amram who had learned by both Rav and Shmuel. So Rabbi Elazar HaBekoev Kamei Demar Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar was in the presence of Shmuel. So they served dairy or fleshing equipment, the naparnat fish, the kalcha bekutach, and he's eating it, Shmuel's eating it with the milk sauce, the shitasa. Yav lev l'ocham, they give it to Rabbi Lazar, the Talmud, he doesn't want to eat it. What? The rabbich yehivi lev, the ochal, the at l'ochlus. So we gave it to your Rebbe. We gave it to your Rebbe.
It means Rav, right?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. That's what Rashi says.
Right. And then... and also the comment to Rav. So then Rabbi Lazar goes back to Rav. And he says, how did you change your mind? He says, no. He didn't do that.
So the way I understand
I knew Shmuel's father, Abba Bar Abba. His son would never do that. Yeah.
Never feed me that.
No. Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, I thought he was saying, who's Abba Bar Abba is?
Abba Bar Abba was Shmuel's father.
And he was Shmuel's father.
Yeah.
I thought he was saying, basically, midi below spherally, he's saying, why is anybody attributing to me that I said?
No, he would never feed me something that I didn't hold of. So maybe Shmuel's under the impression they had given it to him, that someone in the kitchen had given it to him, and the Rav had been okay with it. Rav said, no one gave it to me. La, that Rashi says, Lo Yidvar Mi'ol. Okay, so what emerges? So let's put this all together. What emerges is, number one, there is a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. That's what Tosfos points out. There is a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, but a not bar not is parav or fleishik milchik, whatever it is. And we have the Gemara mentioned a story which is not a not bar not issue. And the Gemara is raising this interesting point that we already see a concept that although there may be some sort of drop off, but if you're dealing with exceptionally sharp flavors, then there won't be a drop off. Question.
The whole concept of Hadas and Tams, that's sort of a subjective thing, but a very, very parameters to determine whether something is most important. In other words, let's say three people taste the dish. One guy says, oh, I can taste butter in it. It's a meat dish. I can taste butter in it. One guy says, no, I can taste it at all.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. How do you determine those? That's sort of going in a different dimension of this discussion. That Gemara that we had excerpted before in Sadi Zayin, so that Daf Sadi Zayin has that conversation, or has at least the larger conversation. And Daf Sadi Zayin, the Gemara says that in principle you should give it, the Mishnais keep using the terminology Benos and Tam, the Brice used the terminology Benos and Tam. So the Gemara, and on the other hand, the Gemara points out, it's talking about Shishim, which sounds very cut and dry. So the Gemara says that in principle we do want to check Benos and Tam. In principle you have a taste test. And the Gemara indicates in terms of who, the Gemara talks about having an expert, a chef. So it sounds like we're looking for someone who has a more refined
palate.
And then the Gemara says, but if you don't have access to someone who can do a taste test, particularly if you're dealing with something that's potentially trafe, you need to have a non-Jew who's going to taste it. A non-Jew who you can trust and who's qualified and who's willing to taste your food. Right, so that's the whole conversation, how you get them honest. So the Gemara says, if directly checking for Tam is not an option, so then you fall back on 1 to 60, because Chazal looked at different types of common foods, and other than flavorings, 1 to 60, you're always safe. Oftentimes, if you actually do a taste test, you can even be safe with 1 to 30, or 1 to 40, or even 1 to 20. Depends on your mix of foods. Once you're at 1 to 60, once you have bittul b'shishim, you can be comfortable assuming that you would pass the taste test.
If you taste it,
then that's going to be a problem, but it's incredibly unlikely that with bittul b'shishim you're going to taste it.
Saying that we could just assume, what's the svar behind his shita, that we could just assume in a not bar not situation that any flavor would be bittul b'shishim?
So that's an interesting point. So Asher is asking, one second, if everything is meant to be checked, if everything's meant to be tested, if everything's testable, so why are we... Let me rephrase your question.
It's
Machlokes Matzias. I don't know. So set up, do a control group, do a bunch of not for not scenarios, and have people taste it. And let's see, do they taste it? Don't taste it. And this is actually easier to check, because you're dealing with kosher flavors. You don't need to import your non-Jewish kfela. You have Jews. Does it taste powerful? Does it taste fleshy? Yeah, that's an interesting question. So where is there room for machlokas? Where is there room for machlokas? The Rashba and the Ran give suggest an important concept in dealing thinking about not bar not, that address they're addressing other issues, but it's relevant, I think, to your point also. The Ran in the back, it has an idea which already appears. The Rashba, we usually think of the Rashba as the author of the Chidusha Rashba, the blue volumes on Masechtas, and maybe also the author of the Chuvas Rashba. But in addition to that, he also wrote a freestanding halacha sefer, Torah Sabayis, which a good chunk of Yoredeya is based on the Torah Sabayis. The entire first chelik of Yoredeya, Shchita, Trefus, Malicha, and so forth, Bas Bechal, Tarubas, and then deep into the second chelik as well. He has Hilchos Nida, and he has Machal Yakum, he also has Netil Sedayim. And whichever areas he dealt with, the tour, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch, he really became sort of the framework for everything that followed. There's often overlap between between what he'll write in the Torah Sabbais on a given sugya and what he writes in the Chidushim. That's not always the same. And this actually point is actually an example. I did not see this, unless I didn't look carefully enough, in the Chidush HaRashba. If you look in Rishonim and Gemara, the first place you're going to find this is the Ran, who lives a few generations after the Rashba. They're all part of the school of the Rambam, that school of the Sephardi Rishonim. But in the Torah Sabbais, the Rashba already makes this point. So if you don't have a Torah Sabbais handy, you can look in the Ran, the back. And they both make the following point. How about if you're dealing with something treif? Let's think about not burnout from out. Right? So you took a utensil out of a treif for kitchen, and you stuck that into kosher spaghetti, or kosher meat, or kosher pizza, whatever it is. Then you bopped it over, or you had a pot of water, and you stirred the pot of water with a treif ladle, and then the water goes down, step by step by step. We don't assume naparnat is mutter. No one says the concept naparnat by devarim asurim. The whole conversation, Rav and Shmuel, is only here.
Is that because we only say tamkik or by asurim? Or if
we
say tamkik.
Well, we do say tamkik around milchus and fleishiks, because that's why we started with Tzadi Zayin, who said, k'deir shibishu b'basal yivashu b'chal. So, but if you take one step further, according to Shmuel, all of a sudden it becomes mutter, but only if you're dealing with milchus and fleishiks. But if
you deal with treif. By treif, you have a chefs and shul iser already. Here you're creating the chefs and shul iser.
Oh. Yeah.
I was going to say that. I thought it was, we went back and I thought we learned in Simon Pezayin there's some connection between Shabbos and Basar Chalav in terms of the definition of Bishul. And Rabbi said in the very beginning that there was, that in terms of what constitutes an iser of Basar Chalav, it has to be mevushal altogether, at least Midaraisa. And so in order to create that status, it needs to be connected enough to each other. And just like Klisheni and Mevashal by Hilchos Shabbos, could somebody say that not Barnat is sort of a similar extension to Klisheni and Mevashal, and therefore you would say it would apply only by Basar Chalav, but wouldn't apply by Tarfus. Similar to what you're saying. It's not a Chavit Shal Isser because you haven't created the connection.
Let's put the ideas on the table. So Michael's saying, well, it hasn't become us yet. And Glenn's saying that it is true. We open by saying that one of the fundamental concepts of Basar, the definition of Basar B'chalav D'oraisa, is that they shared flavor derech bishul. That's why the Torah says lo sevashal. The Torah wants to say don't eat, but it says don't cook, which means don't eat that which was cooked. So, and that is correct. And in Sin Pei Zayin, where that's hashed out, suppose we do talk about the overlap with the definition of bishul in Hilchos Shabbos, because it has to be an act of bishul. And if there's flavor transfer in a way that's not an act of bishul, if you just soaked a piece of meat in cold milk for a while till it absorbed the milk, so it's going to be asur to eat midrabanan. You can't even eat a slice of meat and a slice of cheese together, or one after the other, even though there's no transfer of flavor. If the flavor wasn't transferred via bishul, then it's not basar b'chalav d'oraisa. So you're saying, well, klisheni and mevashal, so this is klisheni is in a different dimension. That's a question of
thinking of a piece of a fish. I was getting to it with Rashi, with the tzli, the case of it goes off the tzli, so it's already onto a klisheni. It's not on the fire together right now. It's on a plate. So now the plate is already a klisheni. So how hot is the fish really?
Fantastic. So you're touching on a different issue, which let's get to next. Either tonight or next week, which is let's name it, and then we'll put it on cue for next week. One of the major issues in the sugya, and that's this long tosis hilchasa that flows from kufi daf on basic kufi beis amalav, is what does the word alu mean? Dagim sha'alu bikar. Is it only, as Glenn said, you put a hot fish on a fleishik plate? That's it? How about if you cook the pasta in a fleishik pot? So most Rishonim assume it's all the same. But there are Rishonim who say, no, there's a whole heter, it's only if it was klisheni. Only if it was someone used that language, cliche, olam. So we're going to table that for next time. The question of cooking versus merely olam. We'll hold on to that for now.
If you eat with utensils instead of cooking, all the same.
I'm sorry.
The question on Shabbat, you talk about cliche and rishon, klishuvim and ha'esh. You're talking about an issue of bishul.
Right.
You're not talking about a question of bleias.
Correct.
The question here
is bishul.
And the fact that a klisheni is not, you may not be over on an issue of bishul, doesn't mean that you can't have a bleia from it.
True. But Glenn is saying maybe Bas Bechalav is uniquely kal because to have Bas Bechalav is right, so there needs to be an active bishul.
If that was the case, then what's the whole issue differentiating between Tata Gavar and Ola Gavar? If it doesn't matter,
Mamish, you already work on the Tosfos.
So that implies that Belia is not just it's an actual of when. How does the Belia work? It doesn't always work. If it's all the government doesn't work without the government.
Yeah, so let's hold on to both of those because that all of that comes up in the Tosis. So let's hold on to that for now. That's an additional variable here that we'll hold up for next week. I want to, for now, come back to the point that Usher had raised. Again, which is why aren't we testing? Why don't we just see? Either is Nisiyas Tam or there's not Nisiyas Tam. Right? So the answer is, let's complete the thought so that we don't lose the thread. And then we'll wrap things together, and then if everyone wants to stay for more questions, I'm more than glad. But let's wrap things together for let's put the threads together for now. Let's bring them together, and then we'll know where we're heading next week. So again, so Asher has the Gemara has a Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, not by not. Is it a problem? Is it not a problem? As an aside, we should. Machlokes is Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel says mutter, Rav says us. So, Frecht Usher, what type of machlokes? Just let's see. There is Nisiyas Tam, is not Nisiyas Tam. Given that Sam pointed out to us that fundamentally, we really look for the Mitzias of Nisiyas Tam. Fundamentally, this is a physical reality we're looking at. If it wasn't a physical reality, you wouldn't be taste testing. So, either there is taste or isn't taste. So the answer to that, I think, lies, again, the following. Like as we were saying before, that the Rashba in Torah Sabayis and the Ran in the back on the Rif both tell us that you get the impression that this whole kula of Shmuel, but not Barnat, is only if you're dealing with milchiks or fleshiks. Is a milchik is a parv? Is a fleshik is a parv? But if it's a question, is asr or mutter, you're dealing not Barnat of bacon or not Barnat of bacon, treif. Why? So let's come back to the Rosh Hashanah and the Ra'an, come back to what Michael said before, which is, and let's understand the dynamics of it, which is, well, we're dealing with something which isn't yet treif. So what the Rosh Hashanah and the Ra'an both say is it's not that the flavor is gone. If the flavor is gone, so then even with bacon, we mutter. The flavor is there, but it's iklash. It was weakened. Where does that leave you? They say, it's also to taste even a weak taste of Isser. It does fall within the rubric of Tom Kaker. It's not like Batalishishim. There is flavor there. And it's, if there's a Tom Kolish, a weakened flavor of bacon, also to have it. However, a weakened flavor is not significant enough to create an Isser with. An Isser cannot be Chal on a Tom Kolish. If it was ready also before, I had a piece of bacon. The bacon is mamish, actual bacon. And then the flavor gets reduced. Step, it's one step removed, two steps removed, three steps removed, four steps removed. As long as you can still taste it, as long as it's not the batel, so it remains aser. The Tom Kolish can maintain an iser, but you cannot create an iser with the Tom Kolish. So that's Shmuel's concept. So the Rashba and the Ran are suggesting this lumdus. To explain one point, which is why is not by not only mutter by hetera, but it's not mutter by yisura. But the truth is, it also goes solve several other things, including Asher's question. Because the answer is, it's not this isn't really a machlokes metzias. You had said it sounds like machlokes metzias. The answer is, it's not. Everyone agrees to metzias. The metzias is there is some flavor there, but it's definitely reduced. And the question, it's a machlokes in din. Does the halacha say that the Isser can only be chal on a more substantive tam, or no, Isser can be chal on tam kolosh. So Shmuel had this chiddush, the Isser cannot be chal on tam kolosh. And there's a parallel to this, which the Rajba seems to at least point to, and the Reshech, of course, the Rav used to discuss this extensively in Shiurim. I think later Svarim already, after Rajba, unpacked this some more. That idea of a weakened tam can maintain an Isser, but cannot create an Isser. So that comes up in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. We know that based on the Pesukim Matos, there are two. You don't always kasher kelim the same way. Kedera Shabisha Babasla Vashba Chalav, kelim can have a blia, and you usually can remove that blia through kasher. How do you kasher? So it's based on the Pesukim Matos. Depends, right? Kebolo kach polto. If it went in with dry heat, so that's very intense. So the only way to get rid of the flavor is incinerate it with liver. If you just went with wet heat, the cooking, so then Hag'ala suffices. But then the Gemara said, Avodah Zarah, well, the Gemara basically tells us that insistence we have, that if you have something that was used with dry heat, you have a grill or a spit, Hag'ala is not enough, you got to do Libun, that's only if the flavor that went in, that you're trying to remove, is a trefa flavor. But let's say it's just a question of milchiks or fleshiks. Or let's say, if it was originally a kasher flavor, the Gemara has a different example, so then the Gemara says, then you could do hagala, that'll be enough. If it's hetera bala, if it was bolea, a kosher flavor, if you have a grill, that you use with kosher meat, you could do hagala, and then use, assume the grill is clean, and you do hagala, and then you could use it with milchiks.
Maybe.
Or, as the Gemara says, you have used let's leave milchiks fleishig aside. The example the Gemara gives is this. I have a kli that I have a grill upon which I grilled a carbon, basar carbon. Galdic. Right? So the basar carbon is not kosher, it's holy. Right. It's holy until it becomes noser. Every carbon has an expiration date, 1 day, 2 days. Then all of a sudden it goes from being mutter to being aser. So if you already did haga'ala, and then it becomes noser, it doesn't become noser. Why? So that's exactly this idea. That once the tam is, you have a grill and you did haga'ala, the haga'ala didn't do nothing. It did something, it didn't do enough. So it made it a tam kolosh. So if the flavor's already treif, so there's still some tam kolosh left, some weak tam left. But if it's thus far still kosher, it's not going to become treif. Once you're makalish it, once you reduce it, it's not going to become treif. So that's the concept, coming back to Asher's point, that's what the Rosh Bandaran said, that's what the sugya is about. The sugya of Nabranat is tam kolosh. So once Shmuel says, once you take it two steps out, it's reduced, it's diminished, and if it's still kosher, it's going to remain kosher. So if the fleshik flavor went into the pan, and then went to the pot, let's say. Went from the pot into the spaghetti. So it lands the spaghetti, and it's not yet treif. At this point in time, whatever lands two steps removed is kolosh. If it hasn't become treif yet, it's never going to become treif. So you can throw out all the cheese you want. You can't make an isser out of cheese, perfectly good cheese, and tam kolosh of basar. Okay.
So according to Shmuel, you could use a pot for fleshiks and then use it for milchiks?
Chas v'shalom.
I'm saying without the same food, because isn't that exactly what's going on?
No, because there. Great. There, because remember the Gemara at Sensai Zion, that's how we started. Kedera Shabishu Abbasar, Lo Yavash Bachav. So you're asking, isn't that all the same thing? So here's the answer, which the Ran sort of spells out right at the beginning. He says, the reason, and thank you for clarifying, not bar not means. The flavor gets two steps removed, and it's still, when it lands two steps removed, it's still mutter. In other words, the tam goes from the meat into the pot, from the pot into the spaghetti. And thus far, it hasn't encountered any milk yet. It lands in the spaghetti, still kosher. Right? Subsequently, you're going to throw cheese in. But once it lands in the spaghetti, it's still kosher. It lands in the spaghetti, it's two steps removed, not bar not. At that point, it's not yet aser. So once it lands the spaghetti, it's not going to become mustard because it's already huklash. But if the flavor goes from the meat into the pot and then from the pot into milk, if instead of using the fleshik pot for para, you use the fleshik pot for milchiks, so in the moment it lands in the milk, it's becoming mustard right away. It needs to, you need possession. It needs to land. If it lands in the second step,
Well, if you
and still
don't put the cheese in the pot and then turn it back.
If you put the spaghetti in that pot.
Plus, in that case, also with the pot, the cheese is also going. Right.
So if you cook the spaghetti in the same pot, and then you transfer the spaghetti into
onto a plate.
No, into whatever another dish that has the milk and cheese in it. That's okay.
Yeah, that's what Shmuel says.
According to Shmuel, I'm saying.
That's what Shmuel says.
But you just can't take the cheese and put it back
into the fleshy pot. Correct.
Is that how we paskin even if you cooked it?
Good. So let's close for now.
Just don't want him to go home and try it at home yet.
I'm not cooking anything.
Okay. So let's close for now with the beginning of halacha l'maisa, which the Gemara itself actually takes. The Gemara, at the bottom, says hilchasa, saying that aside, hilchasa dag mishal b'ka'ara mutar la'achal mekutach, like Shmuel, which by the way is a surprise. Because usually the rule is, because Rav and Shmuel, Rav wins in Isra V'Hatar, and Shmuel wins in Dinimaz. Shmuel's yeshiva was more yeshiva, they learned Nashim Zikin, so Shehilchazik Shmuel Bedini, and Rav, they learned Arachayim Yerodeh. So that was the focus, they all learned everything, but that seems to have been the focus of the yeshiva, or Kachim, correct, Moed and Kachim. So usually you would have expected that we would pass like Rav, so that's perhaps why the Gemara needs to point out. We actually, this is an exception, although it's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel B'Yisuri, we pass in like Shmuel, and you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Aleph, and indeed, the Shulchan Aruch says exactly that. Let's just touch the very beginning, we'll graze the beginning of Shulchan Aruch here in Simon Tzadi. Hey, Gagim Shenizbashlu O Nitzlu B'Kedera Shel Basar. The fish was cooked or grilled in a fleisha kli, rechutza, yafa. Now it has to be a clean fleisha kli. Shein shuman davak ba. If there's actual fleishik residue, so then the dagim are not a tam shein, it's a tam rishon. The flavor went straight from the fleisha grease into the fish. But if it's a clean fleisha kli, then mutter la'achlam bekutach. You're allowed to eat it with milchik, shum davi no sentam, bar no sentam, dehetera. That's why the word there is. The hetera. That's that the Rashi and the Ran. It's not by not of hetera. If it wasn't rechutza yafe, if you made the spaghetti in a messy fleishik pot, so then you have to think about shishim. Yesh b'mamish shal pnei akedei yosim echad b'shishim. If the gook of last night's meatballs that's still in the pot that you made the spaghetti with, so if there's if there isn't a 1-60 ratio. Of the meat sauce to the spaghetti, then it's taka also lachal mekutach. Then the spaghetti is taka fleisha. You can't use it with milk. Okay.
So it's the status of spaghetti.
And the Shulchan goes on to say in Siv Beis another example. We'll see just Siv Beis, and we'll tickle the Rama. Beit Hashem is bashal b'mayim b'kedei rochalavas. I have an egg. Now we flip it. Instead of a fleisha kli, I talk about milchik kli. An egg that I cooked in water in a milk. I boil eggs in a milchik pot. Mutter laseis osa besochar tarnagolas. That was apparently a delicacy at one point. That was a high aesthetic. That you're going to put the egg back in the chicken. Again, it probably appealed to people more who lived on a farm, who knew, for us, eggs are born from egg cartons. But back in the old days, farmers were under the impression eggs are born, the eggs are laid by chickens. So apparently, the aesthetic was it's good shtick. Put the egg back in the chicken. So the question is, you put the egg back in, that's cute if the egg is parv. Now if the egg is milchik, so you made the egg, you boiled the egg in the milchik pot, don't worry. Totally mutter l'chakhila. Aval, he says, nispasha b'kedera shal imbasar, and this is why, this is the chiddush. The chiddush is, this one chus or ashbah, not par not is fine, but only because of not par not. But if you actually have an egg with meat in the same pot, that's treif. That's fleishik. Well, isn't that obvious? That's what the Rashba's point. Rashba's chiddush was: don't think that the eggshell somehow is a davar hamafsik. Eggshell is not a davar hamafsik. The Rashba says that any good Hungarian knows when you put eggs in chalent, it comes out brown the next day. Obviously, the eggshells are poor, even though they look pretty hard. They're obviously porous. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch is pretty straightforward. We pass in like Shmuel, which is not surprising. That's what the Gemara said. The bottom line, literally, bottom line, kufid alef amin beis. The Ramah, though, and here's where we leave off. Michael's a concern about halacha l'maaseh. As I said, we're not yet done with even this piece of the sugya, because the Ramah already says yesh machmirim. Well, maybe not. And why? So the maybe not is the issue that we've tabled for next time, which is the issue that that Glenn and Eric had brought up of is this even like the scenario that Shulchan Aruch had described of boiling eggs in pots and cooking and grilling, or this whole cool of not bar not that the Tom Kolish is only when now it's two steps removed, but you had hot fish, you put them on a plate, a fleshik plate, or like you said, I stuck a fleshik fork into the fish that is mamish cooked. So that's going to be a big machlokes rishon, which we will get to next week. Abosa, thank you so much.